Hello, everybody. I think we're about, oh, there we go, top of the hour. Kathy here. Hello, hello, and welcome to week four of the Amazing Career Project, and we are talking about your happiest life, which is such a beautiful topic, I think. And I have learned so much about this over the past 10 years. In some ways, thanks to my therapy training and therapy work, in watching people who have come from such challenging situations, I mean, unbelievable challenges that make you feel like you don't have any problems at all when you see what other people are going through, and to watch them change and transform and grow and find happiness and peace, it's just an awe-inspiring thing. And, you know, I have to say that work has been so foundational in how I view everything, because when people who've come from such dark, hard times, or are even, you know, born with challenges that are so deep, and they can overcome them, and they can find great happiness and be a light to other people, then, you know, we all can. So let's just dig in to what is your happiest life and how do we construct it, define it, figure it out, and get it. I want to apologize in advance. You know, I work from home and I have a home office, and gosh, this time of year there's blowing leaves constantly in every direction. So there's my next door neighbor having a crew of people blowing leaves, so I'm really hoping you don't hear this in the recording. Been a little distracting today, but I do apologize in advance if you hear that. Before we go to the slides, does anyone have any questions, any challenges, anything they want to share at all? And again, when you're on the phone with me, you just press star 2. Oh, yay. Hi, Angelique. Am I pronouncing that correctly? I'll get to you in a minute. You just press star 2 to raise your hand, and I'll come to you. Or if you're online only, you can just always submit a question, and I'll do my best to get to those in every call. All right, let me go to, is it Angelique?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Did I just approve you on Facebook, Angelique? Was that you?
No, not recently. I think I was there, I've been up there a couple weeks now.
Oh, okay. How's it going?
I'm good, thank you. My question is kind of like lingering from last week. So a bunch of people have talked to you and are in toxic work situations, and you've encouraged them to kind of, you know, not to fight that urge to just, you know, quit.
Right.
And to kind of like work through it and, you know, to kind of work through some of the issues so that they leave on better footing. I'm
right.
In slightly a different situation where before I had the opportunity to sign up for this, I was already in a toxic environment, and I got to the point where, you know, I really wasn't eating well for a long time, sleeping well, and so I quit back in July.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering your advice on, obviously, you know, this is a 16-week program, and I need to take the time to kind of go through it as is, but how you recommend I kind of best use my time since I am currently not working. Of course, I'm doing the homework, and I'm trying to, you know, still figure out what I'm passionate about, what the job that I love would be. And so I'm spending some of that time really trying to like look at different roles, talk to different people, just kind of to get a sense of what resonates and, you know, what I want, what I really don't want to do. But I was wondering if you had any advice as to how I could also best use the time while I'm kind of, you know, don't want to rush ahead, but at the same time have this time.
Yeah. So can I ask you a question or two here? So
sure.
Is part of your question, I need to get work, and I'm a little nervous to wait 16 weeks to figure this all out. Is that your question?
I guess yes and no. I guess when I quit, I was okay with potentially being out of work for 4 to 6 months. I could be out of work longer than that. Luckily, you know, my husband's fantastic and very supportive, but I think I do feel I feel a little guilty being out of work for like 8 months or more.
Okay.
And I don't want to necessarily rush into the wrong career. If that's the right way to go, then that's the right way to go. But I guess I didn't know if you had any other advice as to how I could best use my time, because I'm kind of doing the best I can to be as productive as possible and take the time, but also use the time wisely.
All right. So what I would ask you is this. But, you know, I just did a post recently on this. We have to figure out when we're in toxic situations, what's really critical is to figure out what part am I playing? How am I contributing to it? Is it just this job? Is it this employer? Is it this career? Or is it this field? We have to figure that out. Do you feel you know the answer to that?
Yeah, I do. I've been doing some soul searching, and I was at the same company for like 4 years. And the first role I was in, while it wasn't as challenging, it wasn't toxic at all. I think it really was more like a couple of things. The work-life balance just wasn't there. I think my part in that was I didn't set up good enough boundaries. I'm one of those people that like has to do 100%. I can't not do my best, you know, my best work and put the best foot forward. And so I felt like there was just a lot of work, and so I would just stay up till like midnight, and I was anxious all the time and not sleeping well. And I think my part in that is I have to learn how to set up boundaries and somehow be okay with, you know, not doing everything and communicating that.
All right. And what about the work itself? What did you do, and did you like it? Would you like to get another job in that area? No.
No, and that was the other part. So I was doing I was a brand manager. And doing marketing, and that was the other reason why I quit, was because not only was I working such crazy hours and I wasn't happy, but I didn't like what I was doing. So to put all that energy and be so miserable and not even like the work, I think I realized I'm definitely more of a numbers type person, and analytics, and I always felt like I wasn't necessarily as creative as, like, you know, coming up with copy and those types of things. And I felt like, oh, well, that's just a muscle I want to flex. Like, I should become better at it. And I kind of realized over the past year and a half, like, no, I don't like this. I don't find enjoyment in it.
Do you have an idea what you do like?
I guess
let me share this with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So that, you know, so I'm mindful of our time as well. If you don't have an idea what you want, then you do need to go through this program before you really pursue other opportunities. You've got to figure yourself out. The other thing I would say is timing. Look, we're coming into Thanksgiving and then Christmas. Everything slows down. Hiring slows down, budgets, you know. So I would love to, I feel from what you're sharing, you need to do this work in this program in order to set yourself up to know what you want and go out and get it. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. So what I would do is, I mean, I would say if you had an inkling of what you wanted to do, start exploring it. Start talking to people. Start putting your toe in the water. You know, you don't have to wait till the end of the program to do that. But if you're truly clueless, then those efforts are going to be futile. Futile because it's just going to be throwing, you know, spaghetti on the wall and seeing what sticks. So I would say throw yourself into this program and understand it's the holidays. And the third thing I'd say is guilt. You know, guilt, when I hear that, it's information, but often we're guilty for the wrong reasons. So you said initially you thought you'd be okay to be out of work 4 to 6 months. I guess I'd say to you, and it's been how long now? August, September, October, 3 months,
4 months.
Right? Yeah. So I'd say to you, if you can get through, you know, 5 more weeks of this program where you're going to have a lot more clarity, I think it's actually going to totally accelerate your process. So do you need to have guilt around that?
No.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
can you
totally.
Let go
Thank
of feeling guilty about that?
Yes, I can totally let go of feeling guilty about that. All right. I'll try my best.
So, I think I'm saying throw yourself into this program, do all the homework, do all the work, and see if you can come out with you know, as soon as possible, a little more clarity. And then that's going to help your process. And then after the holidays, I think you'll be ready to hit the ground running. Make sense?
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great question. Appreciate it. All right, anyone else have a question that they want to ask before we get going? All right, wonderful. Love these questions. They're so great. So let's go to the slides. Again, if you want to follow along, just join me online. So, again, what we're talking about is your happiest life. And this week's takeaway is this. Happiness, in my view, happiness comes from feeling aligned with your highest and best self. And the question we're asking here is, are you demonstrating in your career and your life what you know to be true about yourself? And, you know, other times that I've taught this, people really ask me, I'm not sure what that means. And so we're going to explain exactly what that means. So in the video, I talk about one of my most favorite books ever is Maria Nemeth's book, The Energy of Money. And I think it doesn't just talk about money. It talks about everything that matters. It talks about why when we're fantasizing and dreaming about things, the energy is so light and so exciting. And then when we try to bring it into physical reality, into the physical world, the 3D world, the energy is so much denser. And it's hard. Let's face it, it's hard. But she talks about how to move yourself from the fantasy world, from the metaphysical to the physical. And she says this, and I feel like there's no truer words than it, that have ever been uttered. She says this, we are all happiest when we are demonstrating in physical reality what we know to be true about ourselves while giving form to our life intentions in ways that contribute to others. So I would love to break this down for a minute and talk about this and how I see this. So we're happiest when we're demonstrating in physical reality what we know to be true about ourselves. And what I mean by that, and what she means, I think, is deep down, you know what you're capable of. You have glimpses of how amazing you are and the light that you want to share and the difference you want to make. You have a glimpse of that. But so often, life takes us on a journey where we forget that. And we start looking at what's being created in our life as the reality, when in fact, what you're creating today is an absolute direct extension of what you're thinking. It absolutely comes from your mindset and your beliefs and your thoughts. And you know, I have so many examples of this. Let me just share one right now. I am launching into a new phase of not only helping women like you transform their lives and careers, but helping coaches build great success. And I'll be so transparent with you, I never really wanted to do that with coaches because, you know, in the work I do and writing on Forbes and Huffington Post and LinkedIn, I hear from a lot of coaches that who really aren't doing the work of being of service. They just, a lot of young women, for instance, just want to build a million-dollar business online. Woohoo, it's going to be easy. And I don't resonate with that. Not that I don't resonate with making $1 million. I don't resonate with people thinking it's going to happen overnight, that they're going to make $1 million, and looking at that as the goal rather than helping others. So in my mind, I've seen so many of those types of coaches, new coaches, that I was really turned off. And it, finally, after having an energy healing session about it, I finally realized that, really, Kathy, that's what you're going to focus on? What about finding 100,000 coaches who are amazing, who are new and want to help people and ready to do the work and ready to stretch themselves and grow and turn them inside themselves inside out to be of service? Why don't you just focus on that? And the minute I had that energy healing session, that's what's coming into my life. A mate like Laura Neff and Liz Scully, who's running our masterminds after this program, and it just goes on and on. Mark Mawinney, I just did a podcast interview with him. He's amazing, and he trains and teaches coaches, and he just invited me to his coach group, Facebook groups of hundreds of people, and they're amazing. So what I was believing was actually putting it on my radar. So what I'm asking you to do is think about the highest version of what you know to be true about yourself, that you're gifted, that you're talented, that you're creative, that you're powerful, right? And if you don't believe that about yourself, you need to go back and find evidence of that. And it's there. It's there in your life. The second part of this is how to give form to our life intentions in ways that contribute to others. The happiest and most successful people are not thinking about what they can get. They're thinking about what they can give. they're thinking about. And that can be from anything from, and I don't mean we all have to be Mother Teresa. That can be you're in a great accountant, you're a great brand manager and you love it, you're a great graphic designer, you're a great teacher. Everything we do can contribute to the betterment of others. Every single thing, if we're coming from that place, right? So the happiest, most successful, the most wealthiest, the most prosperous, the people with the greatest abundance have figured out how to give form to what they care about in life in ways that help others. So that's what I'm trying to help us do here in this program. So let's talk about some other dimensions of this. I really believe this. And gosh, you'll read, you know, you can read a million books and read a million different versions of and different ideas about why we're here on this planet. I believe we're here to live, learn, love, and grow, actually. Love needs to be inserted there. And I believe life is not all about trying to avoid obstacles. I think that's the really wrong way to look at it. Life is full of obstacles. You know, that's why we came here, to learn. We didn't come here to coast. What fun is that? We came here to learn and to navigate through our challenges because life is full of challenge. But when you view it that way, like, wow, that's an interesting challenge. Like, I went to Santa Fe last weekend, as I think I mentioned to you all, and spoke to the Women's Legislative Network of National Conference of State Legislators. And I have to say, the trip was full of challenges, travel challenges, sleep challenges. I was in Santa Fe, 7,000 feet altitude. Oxygen is harder to get, thinner air. I didn't sleep well. The whole thing was crazy full of challenges. I got to my gig 5 minutes before I was supposed to speak. I mean, whew. But I took it well. I mean, I have to say, I didn't get all hysterical like I often do. I just said, well, this is going to be what it's going to be. Let's just see what happens. When you can start taking your challenges as, wow, okay, woo, what am I going to learn today? That's interesting. The whole thing changes. And what you want to do is embrace your challenges with as much open-mindedness so you can learn, expand, and experience joy and appreciation. When you start doing that, your life changes and your career changes overnight. A few other key takeaways. I've said this, but I mean this with all my heart. We are co-creating exactly what happens. Just like Angelique said, she's starting to see that her terrible work-life balance, she was 50% of that. And we are. We absolutely are. And when you can start seeing what you are co-creating and how you are doing it, you no longer have to experience it. So I call that get hip to your trip. How you trip yourself up, how you habitually bring to you what you don't want. So the question is, what am I seeking out and bringing to me that I actually no longer want? And that's why I'm fanatical about do not leap till you've done the work. Because if you do and you don't heal it, you will actually recreate it, even if you're trying to go as far away from it as possible. So again, greater awareness equals greater choice. And then we talked about in the video judging. You know, it's a fascinatingly powerful thing when you start looking at what you think, when you start getting incredibly in touch with your thoughts, and then when you realize you are not your thoughts, you are not your thoughts, right? You have to watch what comes into your mind. And you have to be the shaper of your thoughts, right? You can't be the victim of your thoughts. You have to stand apart. And meditation helps that tremendously for you to be wholly present with yourself. And a thought comes in and you go, okay, there goes a thought. There's another thought. Thinking, right? You're just wholly present. Because if you're not, you wouldn't believe how your thoughts shape your behavior always unconsciously, really, if you're not aware. And I really encourage you to watch the video about judging thoughts. Judging thoughts make you unhappy. This is good, this is bad, this is smart, this is stupid, right? This is guilt-inducing, this is not. You know, coaches are, just what I said before, coaches are not helpful, coaches are. you need to watch the judgments in your thoughts, because judgment makes us unhappy. I don't mean you don't want to be discerning, but I mean applying a positive or a negative to a concept. It disturbs your peace. So the more you can be an observer of life without judging it, without making yourself wrong, without making someone else wrong. You know, in therapy we learned every behavior makes sense when you understand the true context of it. And, man, is that the truth. So if someone's coming at you and they're being toxic, if you can understand the context, what that person's feeling, what that person's thinking, it makes so much more sense. Doesn't mean you want to stay in the realm of it, but you're going to understand it and not feel so blindsided. All right. We also talked about in this video Maria Nemeth's concept that money is one of the six key energy forms in life, where energy flows or is blocked, right? Those six energy forms are money, time, vitality, enjoyment, creativity, and support of others. And what she says is when you're blocked in one, you're usually blocked in many more than one. And I have found that to be so, so, so true. They're so related. So if you think of kind of you, your life, as a pipe, or your energy as a pipe, and let's say about money, we're blocked, like that pipe is inside all gunked up. You know, the gunk is what is in the way of the natural, beautiful, easy flow of water, or, right? That gunk is trauma, it's mindset, it's beliefs you've carried over, right? It's experiences that you've solidified. You know, if that happened before, that's going to happen again. What we don't understand is what's happened in the past is not a predictor of the future if you can get aware of it. It will predict your future if you're not aware of how you co-created it, right? So there's a lot of gunk in the pipe. Well, if you think of money that way, think about also time. I mean, how many of you are, if you're challenged around money, are you challenged around time? Are you challenged around your own creativity? Ugh, you know, I'm not a creative person. Or I'm never going to make money or be happy or experience enjoyment through my creativity. Or the other energy form, I don't get support from other people. People are mean. People are toxic. You know, it's funny. Ever since I wrote this article, Six Toxic Behaviors That Push People Away, how to recognize them in yourself and change them, that went viral. I think it's at 2.9 million views on LinkedIn. I notice how everyone uses the word toxic constantly. In fact, Angelique, you just did, right? And I wrote, and you know, I wrote that post in, I swear to you, about 40 minutes. It just came flowing out. I didn't even think of it. Came from another source. But I see the word toxic now on Forbes, Huffington Post, everywhere I write. Well, I would love us to think about how we use that word and what we really mean. And, you know, I think that sometimes we use that word as a catch-all phrase for anything that's painful. And I'd love us to look more deeply, right? Is everything toxic, or is there a way we can cleanse the toxicity that we're having from other people and from ourselves by stopping to block the flow of the opposite, which is, what's the opposite of toxic? Healthy, cleansing, beautiful, whole, holistic, nurturing. Why don't we not focus on toxic anymore? And why don't we clear the flow of what is nurturing and loving and compassionate? Let's focus on that and see what we can do. But again, Maria Nemeth's book is a life changer because she talks about how do we clear these energy forms in our life. Because, you know, if you make more money, that's great. But if you don't feel like you have any time or vitality or enjoyment or creativity or support, the money isn't going to make you happy. It's all connected, right? Talk in the video too about what are the dimensions of a happy life. And as I say, there's probably 1,000 dimensions of what you think a happy life is. What I'm encouraging you to do is stimulate your own thinking about what is a happy life. For me, and for working with thousands and thousands of women, these are the eight dimensions that I hear over and over and over. And these are the dimensions that when we can focus on growing in them, happiness flows. And again, you know, the question is, if happiness is what we want, right? And I think that's what we want out of an amazing career. We want amazing career success, happiness, reward, recognition, remuneration, compensation, respect, right? But I would ask you to think about, if I waved a magic wand and you woke up tomorrow as happy as you could be, your cup is running over, what would have to be different? What literally would have had to change? So let's look at these eight dimensions. Financial well-being, so we're talking all about that. And I talk in the video about, where are you resisting that, right? And so many people are. They resist that they can make a lot of money doing what they want. And, you know, here's the reality. Each and every one of you can make a lot of money doing what you want. But we don't believe that. Somehow we're taught that we can't. But look around you. I mean, there's people in every field making $1 million. Why can't that be you, right? It could be. But we have to clear ourselves of our beliefs that we can't. We have to look at what we resist, right? Now, for some people, I don't need to make $1 million. That isn't even happiness for me. That's too complicated. It's too, I don't want that. I want $70,000, $50,000, whatever it is. What is going to make you happy? But I don't want your thinking about what you deserve to be in the way, or what you're worthy of, or what you think you can command. I want the sky to be the limit for you, and then you choose what's a happy life. The second thing is loving what you do. There's an absolute myth in our world, in the United States. I'm sure it's there in other countries, but in other countries I've been to, in other countries I work in and have clients in, this myth isn't so grounded that if you love what you do, you're going to be broke. I mean, that's just a fallacy. That's just not true. So I'd love you to think, too, about, do I have this belief that if I really ended up doing what I wanted, I'm going to be broke? Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I have this wonderful client, new client, who's incredibly gifted, and he, you know, has a lot of dreams. He'd like to start a reality TV show. He would love to do fashion photography. These things are not easy to start or accomplish or reach a high level at. So I'm not saying it happens overnight. And sometimes what we love to do is a hobby, not a living. You got to figure that out, and this program's going to help you do that. But you can absolutely love what you do. You know, I've told you I'm a singer on the side, and just Tuesday night we had our rehearsal, Wilton Singers, and then 15 of us went out and karaoke'd, and it was the time of my life. I mean, I had such a ball laughing, hysterically singing, you know, karaoke. How hilarious. And, you know, there was even one guy there who said, you know, I'm a professional singer. I don't really karaoke. I said, well, you're going to tonight. And he had a ball. So fun. So you can love what you do in so many ways. All right? The third is creativity. So many of us don't understand how creative we are. And I mean that in the biggest sense of the word. You know, what you create with your hands, what you create with your mind, what you create with your heart, what you create with your talents, with your ideas. So the people who I have seen have the happiest life are using their creativity. They haven't suppressed it. They haven't snuffed it out. They've tapped into it, and they're using it, and they're leveraging it. Number four is making a difference. You know, I work with women who want to make a difference in the world. They don't just want to have a job that pays them a paycheck. They want to have meaning in their work, because most of us are spending so much time on this planet working that they want to make a difference and make an impact. So we have to figure out how you do that. You know, how do you want to be of service and what are the special talents you want to leverage? The fifth dimension of a happy life I have seen is control of how you spend your time. You know, I mentioned in the video, I can't stand it. I couldn't stand it in my corporate life, in my last really toxic job, where everyone felt like they needed a piece of me and no one asked. So I would come in and my you know, we didn't have Google schedules, but we had a work-wide scheduling tool, and people had booked my time without ever asking me. I didn't even get a request to go to the meeting. It was there on my schedule. I'd come in, and that day was booked for me. I hate that. No. And that's why I'm truly happier in my own business. I'm not saying you will be, but I need to say yes and no to what I spend my time on. What do you need for control? Number six is supportive relationships. We've talked about this. I just cannot emphasize this enough. You need people in your corner, mentors, advocates, sponsors. And don't get worried. You know, how do I do this if I don't know what career I have? You'll do it. But right now in your community, there are people who you could connect with, who you will love, who will help you, who you will help. And, you know, Angelique, to your point, what can I do now? Start building more supportive relationships. You can do that today. Look at people in your community. Look at people online who live in your town or live in your 10 minutes from you or 15 minutes from you who you really admire. Take this time now. The holidays are a great time for that. You know, ask to take someone out to Starbucks. And what do you say? I really admire what you do. And I'm in a phase of reinventing my career. And, gosh, I'd just love to talk about your trajectory. Could I take you to lunch? Number one, people adore talking about themselves. And I'm seeing that. You know, I think all of you know I have a new podcast with Mo Fall called Best Work, Best Life. And you can find that at kathyandmo.com. Please listen to it. It's, I think, incredibly inspiring because we're featuring amazing movers and shakers. And please, if you do subscribe and you like it or you've listened to one podcast, please do subscribe and leave a review. We would be just so grateful. But anyway, the cool thing is we're talking to incredible people who have made a huge difference. Sean Aker, Michelle Gielen, Judy Robinette, huge impact these people have. And they're talking about their work and what they love. And they love to do it. So start building your supportive relationships. You don't have to have all the answers to start talking to people. You really don't. Okay. Number seven is growth and development. I believe that we're happiest when we're growing. We're happiest when we're... I just wrote today, and I'm going to do another little photo image of this. I'm so glad when I'm wrong, when the realization of that helps me grow. I love that. Okay, I was wrong. And you just helped me grow. But that means you're walking into critique, and that's not easy, but that's important. Ask for critique. What can I do better? How can I improve? How did I not do this well? It's not easy in the beginning, I have to say. It's not easy in the beginning to be critiqued. You didn't do that well. I write for Forbes, as you know, and every once in a while my producer will say, hey, we had to change this phrase or this title. Ooh. And at first it stings, like, oh, they didn't like my title, and I like my title better. But then I don't let it sit there. I say, okay, wait a minute, what do I need to learn here? And then you're just happy for the critique. I don't mean you have to catch every negative ball that's thrown at you. No, you got to know what to filter in and out. And finally, quality of life. Can you define that for me, please? In fact, let's do that for Facebook. Let's have us write on Facebook, and I'm going to make you do it as if it's a Twitter, a tweet. Do it in one sentence. I don't want a paragraph. I want one sentence. Quality of life means to me this. I'd love to hear that. But you got to define it to get it. All right? Now, we talked about special talents. This is where all of us can use work. I would love you to think about what are the special talents and gifts that you want to use. And Angelique, that's going to answer your question. What are those talents you can bring forward in life and work today? And again, in the exercise, in the homework, there's an exercise just for that. And I want you not to worry about if you think a certain talent is ridiculous and frivolous, like I love to dance. Yeah, what am I going to do with that? I don't want you to do that. I want you to look at the talent and bring forth as many, you know, dimensionalize and write down as many of the natural gifts and talents and skills that you love to use. Bring that forward, write them down, and then we brainstorm, what can I do with this? You know, what are jobs and career directions that are going to allow me to leverage those? And then when you do that, you know, there's even more from that. If you want to start a business, for instance, coaching, for instance, there's a wonderful book, The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, who talks about the fatal assumption that so many entrepreneurs make, that they mistake and confuse the idea that, well, I love to sit and coach people with, I will be happy and successful running a business that offers coaching. Those are two very, very, very different things. So if we're thinking about running a business, we have to look at your special talents, but that's not enough. It's not enough just to say, that's it. I love to do graphic design. I'm going to run a business as a graphic designer. There's processes we have to go through to make sure that you're actually well-suited to being an entrepreneur or a small business owner in offering that talent. They're extremely different, but we're going to help you make that decision once we put you in the right bucket of and again, the four buckets that we're talking about here are, I want to stay in my job, but I want more leadership, more success there. I want to change my job, my employer, but do the same thing. I want a new career entirely, or number four, I want to start a business. So we have to start thinking about what's the bucket that you want to be in, and then that's what we're going to help you get to. All right? That's it. So what are you committed to in terms of accessing more happiness in your life? Despite what's appearing in the outside world. So again, we have to start disconnecting from the belief that, well, what I've created right now is what I'm going to create. No. When you transform yourself, what you can create is beyond your wildest dreams. All right. That was a lot. Let's have me answer some questions. All right? Start to, if you want to raise your hand, and I love talking to you. So please, please, please do that when you're on the call. We have 11 callers. Please, raise your hand. Start to. Okay, I'll wait for that, but in the meantime, I'm going to the Q&A. Let's see what you got. Do I have no questions? Or is my computer just slow? Oh, that's going to be a first. Okay, this is your time, folks. We got 20 minutes. Please, please let me help you. Ask any question, either a struggle that you're having or I'm not understanding this in the homework. Beautiful, beautiful Bellevue. Oh, yay, wonderful. I'm so happy. And let me make sure no one's doing it online. Okay, no. Yay, all right. Let me go to Bellevue, Washington. Hi.
Hello, Kathy. Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Sandra.
Hi, Sandra. I don't think we've spoken before, have we?
No, we've spoken once.
Oh, thanks so much for asking your question.
Yes,
what can
and
I do for you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome for me asking. But Kathy, it really is a difficult. The four buckets. At what point in the process should we be getting clearer about that? I've done dutifully the homework. I'm still unclear.
That's okay. I would say by, you know, week 10, well, the earlier you can figure that out, the better. But I take you through a process that's going to help you do that a little more. But let's see if we can jumpstart it. Is it Sandra or Sandra?
Sandra.
Sandra, tell me what you're going through, and let's see if we can accelerate this. And everyone on the call, listen to this process. And it'll help you, I hope. So tell me what you're thinking, and tell me all about it.
To do that, I'm going to have to start back several years ago. I have quite a stable and rewarding job, both financially rewarding, and many ways, personally rewarding. I do contribute significantly. I'm in the healthcare system. So a lot of, you know, there is a lot of, you know, kind of feelings that I'm contributing and that my work is meaningful in that. However, where I'm stuck is, as I'm beginning to see through answering questions and going through your videos, definitely I've got a kind of, I feel that my skills and talents threaten people who want positions of leadership. I feel that that those opportunities are more difficult for me to access. So my issue around when you ask, where are you being your true self? Where do you not feel you're being your true self? One of the options was, sorry, I'm looking through my notes here, was power, or, you know, kind of the ability to control and contribute. And I feel that's been thwarted where I'm currently at. Now, concurrent with that, a few years back, I did start a company. About 3 to 4 years ago, I've done very little with it. I just got the legal structure in place and the accounting structure in place, but I haven't done anything with it.
I got some questions, Sandra. I got some questions.
Yeah.
So when you said my skills and talents threaten people, do you know what occurred to me?
What?
It's not your skills and talents that threaten people.
Okay.
It's you that threatens people.
Okay.
So what I really want to understand is this. How is this threat being acted out, and how are you not being afforded ascension to leadership and power? Tell me about that.
It's being acted out through me being called in to a conference with HR. They have absolutely no, when I say what happened, what issues are in place, they have absolutely no specifics. They have
what
no
are they
info.
Saying?
They
what are they
say,
telling you?
They say that people, and this is just on the heels of a merger that has happened the past couple of years. So there's been a shift in culture. And we used to have quite a culture of teamwork. And we had no barriers. There were really no barriers between owners and employees. We had very easy communication, quick communication, problem solving that happened throughout all levels and of employment. We relied on each other. And
what is it now?
It's very hierarchical. So,
okay.
In other words, we can't speak even. There are others who have been called in and talked to about this, not only me, but we can no longer speak directly to our employees about anything that we'd like to resolve, anything we have questions about. There's a hierarchy that is very protected, and in my opinion, it's not helping the company, but that's the way it is.
I'm going to cut you off only because I want to streamline what we're focused on, you know, so I can get to a few other people too. So what you're saying is because of the merger, it's become a toxic environment.
We're using it correctly, but for me it has been, yes.
Okay, so if that's the case, it's time to think about leaving. So what would prevent you from finding, so you said it's rewarding, it's stable, I contribute, but it's turned yucky. I can't have the impact. I don't like where they're going. So what would stop you from finding another job that would be stable and rewarding in a wonderful culture?
Because I've put so much time, effort, and resources into my career. I'm an MD. I have spent, you know, this has been years and years of training and learning and contributing, and I feel like it's a failure if I turn my back and walk away and don't give it, you know, another shot.
I mean, why don't you take what you've done and leave that organization and find another organization to be who you want to be in?
Well, there are some options around, and yes, that's
let me be really clear.
That's one of my goals, Kathy. I have it as one of my three goals, is to put my CD into
right now, right this second. So let me explain. You have just shared what millions of women do. This is toxic. I don't like it. They're calling me on the carpet for nothing. I'm thinking of starting my own business. So that's a leap that needs to be processed through differently.
Okay.
I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong and push back, but often when just what you said, I've killed myself to be who I am and where I am. And how dare they do that? I'm done. But starting your own business is not necessarily the right answer. And to me, you tell me if I'm wrong, that's a bit of the pendulum swing that I talk about. And I did it. I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of how I'm treated. I'm just going to run my own thing. And I became a therapist. But I don't know that that's, I don't know, and I would have to work with you, or Laura Neff could work with you, if that's the right thing. But it's certainly not the right thing if you don't explore other organizations that you can be a high-level part of. Does that make sense?
Okay. Sure, it does. Yes.
Is there anything lingering in there that still confuses you about it?
Just that how much time do you give the exploration of the other organizations? You made a comment maybe at our last conference that you have an issue with authority and you like being your own kind of your own boss thing. Yes, you are not a huge lover of authority. I'm the same exact way.
Yeah. I would say, you know what you could do? Why don't you explore both avenues? So, and don't hesitate. Right now, start talking to other people about other opportunities at other companies.
Okay.
And I will tell you, I'm not going to give you a time frame because you are going to know when you know. In other words, as you start getting out there, and you know a million people, you're an MD, right? You know you have a huge network. Start talking to people about, here's what I want. Here's what my next vision, my next chapter really looks like. Do you know anybody who would be helpful to talk to? And you're going to know so quickly, as you start going into these other organizations and interviewing, you're going to get a sense, oh, my gosh, I don't want this. What I really want is to be on my own. Or, wow, I had no idea that things were going on like this in such a high-level, wonderful way. You're going to know.
Okay.
But, in the meantime, Sandra, start acting as if you want to launch your company. So what's the first thing you would have to do if you were really going to move forward with it? What would you do?
So the first thing I'd have to do is meet with some hospital administrators and understand in this new healthcare environment what they would be looking at for my particular subspecialty. You know, as far as how that would help with their metrics. So I would have to do that.
If you did that, would that compromise your position, your
I got permission at the time of the merger. I had the company started and made sure that I have in writing. I had an excellent lawyer. So I have in writing that I am able to pursue this as long as it's not during office hours and my, you know, commitments to the company. And I'm very, very careful.
I'm so excited. So this is exactly how you do it. Go out and start doing that.
Okay.
So to everyone on this call, this is exactly how we do it. The only way for you to know what you want is not to sit at your computer and guess or Google it. It's to try it on. So, Sandra, as you start having these discussions, you're not going to believe what unfolds. You're going to learn what you want. You're going to learn what you don't want. You're going to learn, oh, my God, I don't really want to do this. Or, wow, but I want to do it, but what a different direction. You're not going to believe what comes out of these discussions. So I would pursue both of those. And I'm telling you, in 3 months, you're going to know a million times what you know right now.
Okay, Kathy, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
I love it. Thank you so much. What a great question. Yay, keep us posted. All right, wow. Awesome. Okay, who do we have? That was so great. we have Stroudsburg. Is that how you pronounce it? Stroudsburg, PA. Who's there?
Hi, this is Bernadette.
Hi, Bernadette. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
Stroudsburg?
It's probably our nearest, I'll call it city, but for small, big town.
Oh, wow. Well, hi, Bernadette. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
My question for you is probably something you've sort of touched on a little bit earlier today in our call, and I'd really love if you could expand upon it a little bit, which is for those of us who are really struggling through the process of what it is we even want, can you give us some guidance and advice on completing some of these assignments, how to think about some of them when we're still grasping at, we're grasping at everything.
Yeah, so I'm going to need more information because, I feel like I've given 1,000 different exercises and tips. So what are you struggling with so I can really help you?
Well, I've just finally made it through the self-assessment part. That actually took quite a long time. Maybe that was part of the issue. But for me, I have come into this knowing that I want to do, a feeling that there's probably more to do in life or something different, but it's not that struggle right now, at least perhaps because I recently changed jobs in my company, but it's not the overwhelming struggle of I've got to get out of this. It's the I am in a position now where I can potentially shape my future better, whether it's in this company, whether it's doing something else, and I just want to, explore myself better and my own needs, and so I'm really starting at a kind of broad brush.
Okay, so I feel that there's a vagueness to that, and we can't move forward if we're vague. So let's make some decisions here. So am I hearing you correctly? My job is good, but I feel like there's more to life. How old are you now, Bernadette?
45.
Okay, so can you tell me more about it? Tell me about this job. Do you feel you're using yourself in service of others? Do you feel it's rewarding? Do you want to stay in this job?
No. It's a fine job. I like the people. The work is mediocre. It's not terribly fulfilling. If I'm staying in this company, and I'm in this for about another year, so that's why I really wanted to step up and make sure I'm focused on what do I really want out of the job, and if it's this, great. If it's the next job, great. If it's something completely different, that's okay too.
Okay, so let me just ask you this. There's a vagueness even to what you just said. If I want this job, good. If I don't, good. It's all vague. Why do you think it's so vague? Why was it hard to complete the self-assessment? Is there something that blocks you from understanding what you want? Like, let me give you an example. When you're going out to dinner, do you know what kind of food you like?
Yes.
When you're going to a movie, do you know what kind of movies you like?
Yes.
Okay. This is exactly the same process. Exactly the same, but yet there's a vagueness to what you're saying. I don't know, I'll stay in the job a year. Maybe I want it, maybe I don't. Why do you think there's a vagueness? What's underneath the vagueness? Are you scared to put your stake in the ground and say, you know what, I don't want this? Is there something constraining you?
Maybe, but I think it's because there's not a vision of what I would want instead. So that's the loop.
Well, let's reverse that. Reverse that. You don't get the vision of what you want till you get clear on what you feel. It's not going to magically appear to you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that. It comes to you when you start feeling your feelings. And when you start feeling your feelings, you go, you know what? I hate this. Or, gosh, I actually love this. So I need you to feel what you feel about this job. So tell me what you feel about this job.
Okay.
You want to stay in it for another 5 years?
No. It's not the job. I definitely anticipate moving out of this role by the end of next year into something else. The question for me is whether I want to, go on to whatever, can I shape whatever that next job is, if I want to stay in corporate, for example. I have a very corporate job. or is it the feelings that I feel that there's something more to life? Is it directing me to something else entirely? And if so, what is that something?
What do you think the answer to that question is? What do you think? What do you long for? Take a stab. We don't have to hold you to it. What are you longing for?
Something that's more creative, more has a little bit more freedom to doing different types of things, more maybe variety is a good word for it. I can contribute in creative ways that are different than sometimes what I can do in my, you know.
What is your job, Bernadette?
I work as in change management in corporation.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If you stayed in change management, so does that mean you're a management consultant? You come in and you help organizations change?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've done it externally with clients and now doing it within the company.
So if you were able to do that but had an infusion of variety and creativity, do you think you'd be happier?
That's what I'm trying to test out. Is it, you know,
so why,
the thing
how
that
do
I'm...
we test this out now? What can you do now in this job? Are you at a high level?
No, I'm at mid.
What can you do now to ask for more variety, to get more creative in your role?
Mm-hmm.
What can you do?
What
new project
to...
can you?
Yeah, I have to think about it. I've only been in this group for about 5 months now, so
yeah.
I'm just picking, you know, whatever comes along, picking up my hand and asking for it. It's a new boss and new organization.
Mm-hmm.
So
what I'd ask you to think about, the only way you're going to know if, gosh, do I want to infuse this current direction with more creativity and more juice, or is it really something else? Or it might even be something on the side. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if this is a good job and it's stable and it makes you a good money, maybe it's you're missing some juice and creativity on the side. Is that possible?
Yes, and that's exactly what I'm trying to work out. Is
okay.
This that's you hit it now.
Yeah. So you can start doing this now. And really, I hope you'll hear me when I say this. This is not going to land in your lap, Bernadette. You're going to have to do this work. And the first thing I'd say is, if I could construct my change management role to have more creativity and variety today, what would I do? What would I ask for? What new project would I oversee? What new mentoring program would I start? Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd ask you, because this is how we learn what we want. We start putting our toe in the water. So I'd ask you to think about if I could make a change to my change management role so it's juicier, what would I do? The second thing I'd ask at the same time, what would I do on the outside? Do you have any idea about that? Do you have any talents? Were you an artist that went underground? Anything? Were you a writer? Were you a singer? Were you a dancer? Do you love, you know, is there anything that you're missing in terms of juice in your life?
Yeah, I'm a dabbler. I like to write. I like to create things. I don't do it often. I wouldn't. It's just fulfilling.
Do you feel, I'm going to come out of the blue, and this I don't want this to be off-putting. Do you ever have any, do you suffer from depression ever?
No. Mm-mm.
No?
I'm pretty even keel.
Okay, because it sounds to me like the way you're expressing yourself, there's not a lot of joy going on. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, it's probably, I don't know if what's coming across is just this feels a little strange and stressful, but no, I'm actually a pretty good place.
Good. What feels a little stressful? Being on the call here with me and having me ask you all these questions?
Yeah, yeah. And I have a bit of a cold, so that's probably not helping either.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean it to be stressful.
Oh, no,
I'm
stressful
really
for
sorry
me.
About that.
Those voices, you know, those thoughts in our head that you keep telling us to let go of.
What? Say it again?
It's those all those random thoughts in our heads that make you, you're asking me questions, and the thoughts go, "See, you don't know anything," and then you have to let them go.
But
I think
well,
about
I love it, and you know, I so apologize if this feels strange and stressful. What I would ask you is, I really believe, Bernadette, that you have more of the answers than you realize. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask you to, and I don't know how to untap that for you. Maybe it's being quiet with yourself. Maybe you have such a busy life, you're not really quiet, or maybe a little meditation, or what's the best way for you to hear what you think?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an answer to that?
No.
No, all right. I don't want to be any more strange or stressful. All right. Would you think about that? Because
I will.
You're really the one who's the expert in your life,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we have to get you to understand, and I believe it's there. Thank you for letting me dig with you. I hope it was helpful. I really do.
It was. Thanks. You.
All right. Bye. All right. Anybody else? I don't want to be strange and stressful. I want to be helpful. I'm sorry if my probing questions are a little off-putting. All right. Anybody have anything online? Oh, gosh. Oh, it's 1 o'clock already, but Bethany, I'll take your question. Hi, Bethany. Bethany says, I am unsure how to apply the far away, very close spectrum with the next exercise. Ooh. Acknowledge, honor going forward. I'm not getting it. I took my far ways and applied three ways to honor what is true about myself. Ooh. Are you talking about the homework? Can you make that a little clearer for me? Oh. Huh. Love, you are not strange and stressful. That's so funny. Can you tell me a little more specifically what you're talking about? Ah, I get you. This is in the homework. Let me look at what I've said. The homework says, think about each of these areas and jot them down a number 1 through 10 about how close you are to exhibiting in reality what you know to be true about yourself. So you're saying, I'm unsure how to apply that spectrum. With the next exercise, which is saying, for those elements that are very far away, think about what you know to be true. Ah, and what you need to acknowledge and honor going forward. All right, let me give you an example. Again, when I was struggling with money when I just started out as a coach, it occurred to me something's really wrong here. It's so far away from me right now that I'm making enough money. Something's really wrong. Why? Because I know I'm smart, because I know I'm committed, because I know that I have a lot of chops. I know that to be true. So why is financial success so far away from me? What I know to be true about myself is I'm capable of making a lot of money. What is in the way? So the exercise says, brainstorm three ways to honor what you know to be true. So when I said that, okay, wait a minute here. Something is truly wrong about my inability, you know, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, to earn money as a coach. I'm going to honor that I do have the ability to make money. Now what does it mean? If it's true that I have the ability to make a lot of money in this field, what do I need to do differently? What do I need to bring forward? What do I need to change? So the point is, honor what you know to be true. Don't honor what you're creating in reality if it's not a match, right? Gosh, I'm broke. Why can't I figure out how to make money? Honor what you know to be true about yourself. I'm capable of making a lot of money. And then figure out what has to change. Do I need to speak up and charge more? For me, it was, do I need to change the business model? Do I need to start running advertising even though I didn't believe I should? Do I need to start doing cold calling, right? Or let me even give another example. I want to be a speaker and I want to make $10,000 as a speaker. Well, you know, years ago, $10,000, which I make now, was so far away that it was ridiculous. So I said to myself, am I capable of making $10,000 for a speaking gig? Yes. But that is so far away from me. What am I going to honor? I'm going to honor that it's possible that I'm going to command $10,000 as a speaker. So what has to change for that to actually happen? How do I bring that forward, and what do I have to do? I hope that answers the question. Fantastic. Oh, I love these questions. Thank you, everybody. And really, again, I applaud you and I appreciate you for asking questions, even though I know it puts you on the spot. But that's how everybody is going to learn. Whatever you're struggling with, hundreds of others are struggling with the exact same thing. And you know, we have other people from other classes, other sessions on the Facebook page, so they're learning too. So you're actually becoming a teacher when you ask your questions. So I can't thank you enough. So again, what I'd love you to put on Facebook is one sentence: quality of life for me is blip. And then if you can even take it a step further and say, and here's what I'm going to do about it this month, that would be really spectacular. And that will allow us all, Laura and me, to help even move that forward. Thanks, everybody. You're so awesome. So I'm seeing you next Thursday for our next call, but I want to tell you, the week of Thanksgiving here in the U.S., we are not meeting. I want you to know that. We're going to take that off because I really want to honor that we need some time off with our family. So I will see you next week on the 19th at noon Thursday, but I will not see you the week after. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful week, and thank you so much. Talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.